right, if you'd like to open your Bibles this evening to the book of Exodus in chapter number 20, I would invite your attention there, the book of Exodus and chapter number 20. We'll continue on in our midweek series of the study of the Ten Commandments. We are on the fourth commandment. You see it posted here on the wall, the fourth commandment. Read with me, if you would, out of Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse number 8. Verse number 8, the Bible says, or Bible reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The fourth commandment. The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Story is told of a Scottish minister who was walking to Sunday morning worship when he came to an impasse. There was an arch bridge located near the church that he needed to cross, but it was completely covered with ice, and he thought it was too treacherous to try and walk across the bridge. So instead, the preacher hurried home and grabbed his ice skates, because beneath the bridge there was a river that had been frozen over for several weeks. And as the pastor came near to the river, he put on his ice skates and skated across the river to get to church. Some of the members on the hillside nearby witnessed their pastor ice skating on this Sunday morning and became furious, because they thought that he had dishonored the Sabbath by ice skating. And in fact, they were so upset by it that an emergency meeting was called to discuss this matter at once. And the question of whether it was more proper to miss church altogether or to indulge the flesh by worldly entertainment on the Sabbath was asked repeatedly. Ultimately, it all came down to one vital question. They turned and asked the preacher. They said, "Parson, did you enjoy skating across the river? For if so, you defiled the Sabbath. And if not, then it would be permissible." Now this silly story, as far-fetched as it may seem, is not all that different than how many people act, treat, and think about Sundays or the Lord's Day. And if you'll keep that story in mind as we work our way through the text together this evening, I think it will be a help to you. More than any of the other Ten Commandments, this commandment does not share a commonality of conviction. As much as we like to make things, and I say this and I mean this, as much as we like to make things right and wrong, black and white, this command is just simply not that simple. It's just not that simple. So does that mean, if I say that Sunday is not the Sabbath, if I say that, does that mean that there is no longer a day to be set aside for rest or reflection, that we can do or not do whatever we want on Sunday? And I want to answer some of these questions about Sunday, the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. I want to ask them with this in mind. What do you want to do on Sunday? Now just answer that question in your own heart. What do you want to do on Sunday? Because when it's all said and done, how we treat the Lord's Day really comes down to a matter of the heart. You get that? I want us to notice as this command here, as it is originally given, and then I want to build from there. Notice with me in verse number 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That word remember carries with it more than the idea of just don't forget, right? I mean, obviously they're not going to forget one day of the week. He wants them, God speaking to them, then says to them, focus, give attention to, pay diligent due to this particular day. And the word Sabbath, if you don't know this, you need to learn this. The word Sabbath simply means rest or a cessation, a stopping or an ending of work. And the Israelites are instructed, remember, focus, give diligent thought to this day of rest or cessation, to keep it holy, to keep it separate. That's what the word holy means, really. The word holy could be termed to tear apart or to rip apart, to separate. They are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it separate than any other day. The Jews, the Israelites, are here given a weekly Sabbath. And if you'll remember this, they're also given annual Sabbaths, certain days during the year that they must also keep holy or separate. But here they have the weekly Sabbath, one day in seven that is set aside to be different or unique than any other day. And really, verses 9 through 11 just simply give a fuller explanation of verse 8. I mean, that's all that it really is. When verse 9 says, you're going to work 6 days, but not the seventh day. On this seventh day, in verse 10, nobody's to work. Not your servants, not the strangers, not your ox, not your mule, not anyone under your roof, not anybody. And then he gives back, and he points back in verse number 11, back to the creative order. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them there is. And God rested on the Sabbath day. Get this. And if you'll get this evening, you will have been benefited by God created a 7-day week. Now, if you'll stop and think about this, there is no reason whatsoever that we have a 7-day week other than that's how God set it up in creation. It makes no rhyme or reason other than that's how God set it up. 6 days He created all things, and on the seventh day He rested. He took a Sabbath, if you will. Now, does God need to rest? No. God is God. God has all power. God never gets tired. But He set a principle there by resting or taking a Sabbath on that seventh day. And I really think when we read all the way back in Genesis, and you could go back and see in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, where God rested on that Sabbath day, I really think, and this is where whether you realize this or not, there's a lot of opinions when it comes to the Sabbath and the Lord's Day and Sunday, a lot of opinions about it. And I'm going to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches about it this evening, but I really think what God said in the book of Genesis by resting on that Sabbath day or on that seventh day, I really think that Genesis 2 is descriptive and not prescriptive. I want you to try to meditate on what I'm saying. In other words, the author is describing what God did in that case, but not prescribing what everyone else must do. And let me tell you why I believe that. Because there are some people that are going to argue that God set that in, and throughout all of time, beginning at creation through all of time, that there has been a Sabbath, a seventh day demanded of rest. However, I would challenge you this. There is no mention at all of the Sabbath from Genesis chapter 2 all the way up to the book of Exodus. No mention of the Sabbath. Here's what I'm saying to you. That we don't have any biblical evidence at all to prove that Noah, Job, Abraham, none of the old patriarchs, we have no biblical evidence at all that any of them ever kept the Sabbath. Okay? I think that God said, you know, rather than Him saying, here's what I expect all of you, there's no verse at all that says, here's what you have to do until we get to Exodus. until after the children of Israel. Then God hands down a command for mankind. We don't find where it says God rested on the seventh day and also commanded man to do that. We just don't find it. Now, if you stop and think about it, do you think the Israelites had a Sabbath when they were in bondage to Egypt? No. You understand they would have worked 7 days a week. They were slaves. Do you think the Egyptians cared anything about a Sabbath? But if you'll follow this through, this nation of slaves, remember, the Ten Commandments are spoken at Mount Sinai after their great miraculous delivery from the Red Sea, from the armies of Pharaoh. This nation of slaves is about to become a nation of their own. It's really this group of slaves are about to become a nation of rules and laws. And so God is saying to them, no longer are you under the thumb of Egyptian rule. No longer are you slaves. No longer are you in bondage. But now you are a free nation. And as a free nation, here are the laws I expect you to live by. One of those laws that you now have to live by is that one day of seven is to be unique from every other day. One day. Now, you can argue all you want to about before this, but I really think now he is saying to them, uniquely saying to them, you've been in bondage to Egypt for 400 years. You've been slaves for 400 years. I'm bringing you out. You're going to be your own nation now. But there's something I want you to do. I want you to set aside one day in seven to remind you where you came from and what I've done for you. And in fact, I'm going to give you a little Bible to back that up. If you'll roll over to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 5, I'll just remind you real briefly that Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Remember this. Deuteronomy is Moses retelling the law of God to that next generation of Israelites. You remember, this generation that gets this at Mount Sinai, they all die in the wilderness. All of them over the age of 20 die in the wilderness, with the exception, of course, of Joshua and Caleb. And so you got this younger generation who were either not born or were very young at Mount Sinai. And so now God thunders down, or God thundered at Mount Sinai, but now Moses now in Deuteronomy is reminding them of what God said. And look at Deuteronomy chapter number 5, and I want you to notice in particular verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Deuteronomy 5 verse 12. As the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. But now notice verse 15, okay? And remember, here's why I want you to keep the Sabbath. Verse 15, to remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So here's this group of slaves that have had no land really of their own, no rules and laws of their own, but they're now going to become a nation of their own. And God says, I don't want you to forget where you came from. So I'm going to set one day in seven to be a day that you rest. Now follow this through. In an agriculturally dependent society, and we're still that, we just don't think about it anymore, but if you go back to the Bible days, they were fully dependent on what they could grow in order to live, right? But God says there's one day in seven. I don't want you out working in your fields. I don't want you planting seed. I don't want you pulling weeds. I don't want you tilling the ground. I don't want you doing any of those. There's one day in seven that I want you to rest. And more than that, if you're a Bible student, remember 1 year in seven was supposed to be a rest as well. The land was not to be turned 1 year in seven. What is that telling Israel? to depend on God, right? You need a day to rest your mind, your body, your soul. You need a day. God is our creator, and he knew we need a day. They needed a day to be set aside to rest their mind, to rest their body, and also a day to just focus on what God had done for them. And that was why he established the Sabbath with them, so that they would be reminded. God did not want his people to become greedy or independent, no longer needing him by working the land every day, every month, every year, but instead taking a Sabbath, taking a rest, a cessation. Because as our Creator, he knew what would be good. A day set aside, a day like no other. You get that? The Sabbath was to be unique from any other day. But if you know your Bible, you also know what? Israel didn't keep the Sabbath like they were supposed to. They didn't keep the seventh year Sabbath for the land of rest, which led to 490 years, if memory serves me right, 490 years of captivity. That's too much. A number of years of captivity, but they didn't keep the weekly Sabbath. They didn't keep the seventh year Sabbath. They just didn't do this. And it cost them dearly. Say, preacher, what does all that have to do with us? Well, that is what the commandment was originally given for. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But are we to continue to observe the Sabbath? Remember, the Sabbath was the seventh day. However, our day of worship generally is the first day, right? Are we bound by the civil laws governing behavior on the Sabbath? Is there a command and covenant on us from this text? You might ask it like this. If we're not to obey the Sabbath, then do we really have 10 commandments or do we have 9 commandments? You might ask it like that. And if they were commanded to set aside the seventh day, why do we observe the first day? And again, I'm just going to say, folks, this is just simply not as black and white, cut and dry as we like to make it. We must be cautious. And I say this with you know, I've been thinking on this, praying on this, working on this all day. We must be cautious and ask for Holy Spirit discernment so that we do not, on one hand, disregard this command at all, or on the other hand, wrongly try to put ourselves back under a law that we cannot keep. Now, you can easily find, I want you to just start following me here, you can easily find every one of the 10 commandments retaught or re-spoken in the New Testament except for this one. Now you study it out. You can quickly find 9 of 10 re-spoken, retaught in the New Testament by Jesus himself and by other inspired New Testament writers. However, you will not find any New Testament text that definitively demands that we continue to observe the Sabbath. And there's a reason for that. And the main reason for that is what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He resurrected on the first day. And I don't have time to get into all of this, but he resurrected on the first day of the week, thereby, I believe, bringing an end to the Sabbath observance and it being moved to the first day of the week, showing the death of the old and the birth of the new, if I can say it that way. Do you understand what I mean? The old covenant versus the new covenant. And we've got to be careful that we make sure that when we say that the Bible is our sole rule book of faith and practice, that we really mean it. Because here's what happens. We claim that the Bible is our guidebook, yet we want to start doing like the Pharisees and we want to start building our own laws and traditions on top of the text. If you knew some of the absurdities that the Pharisees followed during the time of Jesus, you'd think they're crazy. I mean, I'm serious. Some of the rules, you could not carry anything heavier than a fig on the Sabbath day. If it was Friday night and the Sabbath, you get this, right? If it was Friday night and the Sabbath began at 6 p.m. and they rang the bells, that the Sabbath began, if you had something in your hand heavier than a fig, you were commanded to drop it. I mean, you could go down a long litany of things. Even today, when I was over in Israel, even today, they won't push a button. They have elevators. You remember me showing you those photos? They have elevators that stop on every floor because those Orthodox Jews that still want to follow the law, they think it's work to push a button on the Sabbath day, so they won't push a button on the elevator. Now, that's the literal truth. And so, folks, but if we're not careful, we end up doing the very same thing. We just do it on Sundays instead of the Sabbath day. I don't believe I have the biblical right to start handing down a bunch of laws and regulations on what God's people can and can't do on Sundays. Now, I know we like things black and white, cut and dry. We like it all real simple. And there are some precepts that I know the Bible says, but there's some other things, folks, you just got to get your mind around this. The Bible just doesn't definitively say one way or another, and we don't need to try to make more of it than what the Bible does. Now, I'm not interested. Somebody's going to say, well, what about our traditions, or what about the practice of others? I'm going to say to you, it doesn't matter what the Reformers practice. It doesn't matter what any other group of people practice. The only thing that matters is what this Bible right here in front of us says. We need to learn and depend what it has to say, okay? Now, it is my position. Come back to me here. It is my position that there is a general principle outlined in this fourth command that, while not explicitly demanded in the New Testament, remains consistent with what God would have His people to do. Now, let me explain it like this. Here's the children of Israel gathered around Mount Sinai. God thunders from heaven and says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seventh day shall be unique and separate. You need this day. Now answer this question. Are we different from them in the aspect of we no longer need a day? Now think about it. You see what I'm saying to you? And I do not believe for one minute that we are under the Old Testament Sabbath laws, period. But I do think we haven't changed. Humanity hasn't changed. Israel needed a day set aside to remind them of who God was and what God had done for them, and so do we. So do we. The Sabbath, God created, and here's the heaviness. Get this. God created the Sabbath for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Mark 2:27. This is imperative. If you want to learn about the fourth commandment, learn this. In other words, the Sabbath was not made to serve us. I'm sorry. The Sabbath was made to serve us, not for us to serve it. The Sabbath was made for our benefit. Jesus was saying that people were not made for the good of the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for the good of the people. And while we no longer are under the Old Testament Sabbath laws, there's still a day that I believe has been set aside that is for the good of God's people, a day that will remind us. You know, we have unique privileges here in America that many generations of Christians before us did not have. We have the unique privilege, most of us, not having to work on Sundays. I should say most of you not having to work on Sundays. I do a little bit of work on Sundays, if you ask me. But we live in a wonderful nation and society in which we are free. Now, that's not been true of many generations of Christians before us, but we are free to have this day, that first day of the week, uniquely given to us that we may give ourselves to God. God knows our needs. Please listen to this. God knows our needs, our proclivities, our nature, our inclinations, and so He designed the Sabbath for the physical, mental, and spiritual health of His people. And humanity is just as depraved now, just as stubborn now as Israel was when they were gathered around Mount Sinai. And as such, we need a day set apart from all others. I think that Sunday, because of the resurrection of Christ, first day of the week, that this day should be unique. Whenever possible, it should be set apart or unique or different than all others. A day that will remind us what God has done for us and that we still depend on Him. Now, let me say a few things about this. I don't feel comfortable telling someone what Sunday has to look like outside of a couple of New Testament teachings. I don't believe I have the liberty or the right to tell you you can or cannot do this or that. Listen, I'm going to say this to y'all. I changed a lot. When it comes, my wife can tell you, I've changed a lot on how I feel about certain things. I've heard preachers get up and say, "Bless God, I ain't changed my position on nothing in 20 years. You know what that tells me? You ain't been studying the Bible. Because if you study the Bible, you're going to find out you ain't been right about things all along. I haven't been. I've changed position. Also, I used to be really hard and legalistic about what you could and couldn't do on Sundays. But I've changed some, and I believe, I hope, and I pray that I've become more biblically balanced in my approach to the Lord's Day. I don't believe that I have the right to give you a list of do's and don'ts. Now, I know you want that. You know, I know some of you want that. Give it to me black and white, preacher. Make it clear to me. That's why I said this. What do you want to do on Sunday? Do you get it? That's what I'm trying to drive home to you. Now, there are many people who will call Sunday the Christian Sabbath. You may have heard that term. You may have heard it used. I don't like it. Now, I'm going to tell you I don't like the term. I don't like using that term, and here's why. Because I think it's misleading and it's confusing. Now, you say, preacher, you're sort of talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're telling us we ought to behave a certain way on Sundays, but you're also saying it's not the Sabbath. Well, it's not the Sabbath. From the aspect of it, it is not the seventh day, this is the first day. The Lord's Day is the first day. I don't know why we can't just simply call Sunday the Lord's Day. That's what the early Christians called it. That's what John called it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I think it would serve us well to just call Sunday either Sunday or the Lord's Day. Now, there are some well-meaning Christians, and I say this because some of them are going to hear it. I promise you, some of them are going to hear me say it, but there are some well-meaning Christians who like to think they are keeping the Sabbath by what they do and not do on Sundays. And I used to be one of them. I used to think, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and if I do this, I'm keeping the Sabbath. But folks, listen to me very clearly. We are not bound. We are not bound by Old Testament Sabbath law, period. We are not bound. Don't try to put a yoke of bondage on me that you're not willing to live by and I can't live by. Galatians 5:1 makes it clear. We are not bound by the Old Testament Sabbath. You say, well then, does that mean that you can do whatever you want on Sunday? What do you want to do on Sunday? That's why I keep coming back to that. There are some well-meaning Christians, and I realize that they think they're doing well, and if they want to live that way, here, you know what I got to say? Bless God, go for it. If you want to live that way, go for it. I don't care. You don't want to spend money on Sundays? I don't care. You don't want to go out to eat? I have some good Christian friends who think it's wrong to go out and eat on Sunday. You don't want to go out on Sunday? Don't go out and eat. I don't care. It ain't no skin off my nose. You understand? If that's the way you want to be that way. I think we ought to grant one another that liberty. But I can tell you this. I'm going to say this as gently as I can say it. These folks who think they're keeping the Sabbath are not keeping the Sabbath. They're just simply not keeping the Sabbath. And I can tell you why. Because if they turn on the light switch, they've kindled a flame. And you've broken the Sabbath. If you start your car and you drive to church, you've traveled over a Sabbath day's journey. Unless you live within just a couple thousand yards, and maybe the Deans, but it really probably not even the Deans over here. If you travel to church by car, you've breached the Sabbath day by going over a Sabbath day's journey. Now, here's what's interesting. Everybody's, you know, no, I don't say, let me, so many people want to say, well, we're keeping the Christian Sabbath, but they certainly don't want the punishment that God brought on people that broke the Sabbath. And I can tell you that. You know what it was, don't you? You know what happened to a man that kindled a fire on the Sabbath day? They stoned him with stones. They killed him. Now, I know people mean well, and I know they think they're keeping the Sabbath, but you start your car, you turn on the heat, you've kindled a flame or started a fire, thereby breaching the commandment. And so listen, you know, if you want to live by a certain set of rules, that's fine. Like I said, it don't bother me. But unless you've got New Testament text, you hear me? Unless you've got New Testament text, don't try to put me back under the law. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days." Don't let people judge you. Don't let them dictate to you what you can or cannot do on the Sabbath day outside of what New Testament directions we do have. Unless we have a New Testament text that expressly forbids a certain behavior, we have no right to try to force that on somebody else. And I know some of my dear preacher friends are going to get mad at me, and that's okay. They'll just have to, you know, as I tell my kids, you have to build a bridge and get over it. Unless you can show me from the text. I don't tell me about tradition or blue laws, and I know some of you don't want to hear it. Don't tell me about it. Tell me about what the Bible has to say. I know we like our rules and regulations, but very often we do just like the Pharisees. You know what? When you see this, we do just like the Pharisees. Well, we have to build on top. It's not just enough to say honor the Sabbath day or remember it to keep it holy. We have to get down in the nitty-gritty, and that means you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't carry this, and you can't... I mean, the thing, they wouldn't even wear certain articles of clothing because it would be considered carrying a burden. I mean, it is absurd, some of the rules that they tried to live by. But listen, please listen. No rule and no regulation has ever changed a single heart. No rule and no regulation has ever changed a single heart. Jesus is our Sabbath. Do you get that? He is our rest. In Him, we find rest from our labors. We won't have to try to work our way to heaven. It's not by the labors of our hands. In Jesus is our rest, our cessation of labor. He is our rest, and you're not going to take Him from me. He is my Sabbath. So does that mean we're free then? Is Preacher Kiger running up here and saying, you can do whatever you want to do on Sunday? I come back to my question. Baby, you might as well sit down. I'm just getting going here. I come back to my question then. What do you want to do on Sunday? What do you want to do on the Lord's Day? Shouldn't we value living in a nation and in a society that affords most people a day off to give themselves to delighting in God? Shouldn't we value that? That we live in a culture, a society, in a time and an age where most people have a day that they can uniquely set aside from every other day and give themselves over to the things of God. I'm going to share just some practical things with you that I think that we should exercise on the Lord's Day. That I'm not saying these are laws and rules and regulations, just some practical wisdom along with a couple of clear biblical precepts. I still think we need a day, just like they did in the Old Testament. I still think that we need a day, and thank God that we have it, that is set aside uniquely as a day of rest and remembrance. A day of rest and remembrance. A day to relax the body and for the mind to reflect on God. I think that's good. There are some things that I believe that are clear or evident from the New Testament. I'm going to mention them in just a minute. But from a practical sense, brothers and sisters, I think we ought to make plans to spend our Sundays in a way that is unique and different than all the rest of the week. It should be a day that is unique or separate. That's what the word means, right? from every other day. I think that's how we still honor the fourth commandment. Not by keeping the Sabbath in the strict sense of the seventh day, but we keep this Lord's Day by setting aside a time and a place that we uniquely give ourselves over to God. That's how we honor this fourth commandment. So there are 10 of them. We rest, we relax, we unplug, we unwind. Folks, if there are some things that can be done before Sunday or after Sunday, let them. It should be a unique day. I know some of you, you're going to get mad, you kick, stomp, scream. Well, I've got to do this. No, you really don't. You really don't. If it can wait, let it wait. You know what I really think would do us well? If we started thinking about Sunday on Saturday. Oh, we're going to have fun. I'm just getting going, so give me a few more minutes. You ought to go to bed at a reasonable time on Saturday night so you don't come dragging in here looking like the walking dead on Sunday morning. The body and the mind needs time to unwind, to unplug. Now, I'm not going to tell you can't do this and you can't do that. I'm not going to make a list. I'm just going to say it ought to be a day that is unique from others. We rush all week long. Don't you run to and fro all week long? I think it's good and healthy to slow down every once in a while and just say, you know what, I don't need that extra overtime. I don't have to have this. I don't have to go to... I'm just going to depend on God to take care of me. That is what He was teaching them by the Sabbath. I'm just going to depend on God. Now, I realize, and I don't go off the... Sometimes people have to work. Thank God for nurses, doctors that are there on Sunday when you need them, policemen, firemen. Thank God for those that have to work. And I appreciate them. I'm talking about when we choose material over spiritual, our priorities in the wrong place. Sometimes it can't be helped. I know that. But I am going to say this. It is, you ready for this? Here's a real deep theology class for you. It's the Lord's day. It's not your day. You say, well, that's my time. Guess what? No, it's not your time. Every breath you have is on loan from God. It's all His time. And He has said, I believe, to us in this New Testament age, that you can still set aside some time. In particular, we have this day, the great privilege of having the Lord's day, to recognize He has blessed us. Let us worship and depend on Him. And that leads me to this. I really think, and I've got Bible definitively about this, Sunday should be a day of worship. Now, you know I was going to have to get into it, right? I mean, you know I was going to have to mention this, right? Of course, I'm almost preaching to the choir on a Wednesday night, but nonetheless, I'm going to preach. The choir needs preaching too. But I'm going to say this. Sunday should be about more, or the Lord's Day should be about more than just showing up for church. Now, I'm not going to tell you what you can and what you can't do. But I am going to say, would it hurt us to turn the television off? Oh, I'm going to get to meddling. Y'all might as well just get settled in here. Would it hurt you to leave your cell phones alone? To get off of Facebook and get in God's book? Put the newspaper down and pick your Bible up? I mean, this should be a unique day. I've been trying to say that so you'd hear it. This should be a day unlike the others. You got 6 days to be swamped by Fox News. Can you turn it off one day? I knew I'd get a lot of amens preaching like this. That's good. How about staying off the internet? You know, this is nothing. It's tough being a preacher's kid. I'm sorry, babies. I am, but I'm not home most Sunday mornings now, so I don't know what goes on. But we have a rule in our house, whether my kids, now it's up to you. What do you want to do? But we have a rule in our house, no electronics on Sunday morning, period. I would like for my kids to come into the house of God with their minds fresh without all the garbage that goes on in the world. That's what I want. But more than that, and I'm going to say this because it needs to be said, yeah, go to church. It's the Lord's day. Go to church. The Bible clearly says, now, I don't have a paddle with Hebrews 10:25 engraved on it where I whip my people with it regular. Some of you do, but I don't. Now, I know the book says, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. we ought to show up for church. Hebrews 10:20. People ought to show up for church. People ought to show up for church. People ought to show up for church. Okay. I thought maybe I'd eventually get an amen at somebody, and it come from the visitors. Thank you, brother. People ought to show up for church. It's the Lord's day. Jesus left the glories of heaven, came down here to this earth, lived like a pauper, was nailed to a Roman cross, bore our sins in his body, died and rose again. You can't give him 2 or 3 hours a week? You ready for some real fun?
Yeah.
You ought to come to church. And you ought to be at church when you come to church. It means you ought not sit around sleep through church. Now I know, people, I understand. But you know how discouraged, and I want to lay down here and cry sometimes when I'm preaching my guts out, and I look out there, and there's 5 or 6 or 7 of you all asleep. Do you realize I can see you?
Amen.
And you ought to be here on time. It's the Lord's day. Now I know things happen. People work, flat tires, and all, but you ought to be here on time. This is why we're not growing a whole lot, Brother Frank. I get all up in everybody's business. And you ought to be here when you're here.
Amen.
I don't whoop y'all often, but every once in a while, I'm saying we all need to be encouraged, right? It is the Lord's day. If I wasn't a pastor, I may not be worth a flip. I'm telling you the honest goodness truth. If I wasn't a preacher, I may not be worth a nickel. I might be the first one on Facebook. I might be the first one to turn on football on Sunday afternoons, but I've got too much to do on Sundays. I don't have time for it. But I am concerned, I think you ought to be, the welfare of Christianity and our people. I got to hurry up. You know, I committed to being short on Wednesday nights, but this is the heaviest one, okay? Out of the Ten Commandments, this is the most challenging one. I really don't think it's beneficial to churches when they cancel Sunday night service. I really don't think it's beneficial to churches. Now, I know some dear friends of mine who have done it. Some of the pastors were for it. Some of them were against it. Here's why. Here's the truth about it. Some people have to travel long distances, and I get it. And you get older, it's harder to get out at night. And, you know, when it's dark, I get all those things. But let me just sum it up like this. I was talking to a man here in town, and I said, "Man, you ought to come visit my church." He said, "Well, what time services on Sunday morning?" I said, 11 o'clock. And he laughed. He said, "By 11 o'clock, I done been to early service, been to Cracker Barrel, got my breakfast, and I'm done with church for the whole day." Matter of fact, he said, "I'm done with church for the whole week." By 11 o'clock, he done had all the church he needs for a week. Are we spiritually benefited by that? It's the Lord's day.
Amen.
It's not the Lord's morning. It's not the Lord's half day. It's the Lord's day. I know people are going to justify it 1,000 different ways, but I honestly think that the general reason, nobody will ever admit it, but the general reason why people want to get rid of the evening services is just so they can get church out of the way and go do what they want to do. Now, that's just plain preaching, but that's the truth about it. Let's get church out of the way so we can do what we really want to do. That's why I said, what do you want to do on Sundays? Let me zip forward here. The real question, that if you go all the way back to my opening illustration, the real question the church should have asked was not, "Parson, did you delight in ice skating?" The real question is, "Parson, are you delighting in God on His day?" That's what I really believe. We honor the fourth commandment in our New Testament age by delighting in God on the day that He has given us.
Amen.
To set Him aside. Why would we not want, when we are able, I put that plug in, why would we not want, when we are able, to enjoy this unique time that God has afforded us to worship Him?
Amen.
And it has to be more than just showing up for church. Let me ask this as I close. I promise I'm closing. If you don't value slowing down, resting, withdrawing from the world, and enjoying the things of God, if you don't value that, what makes you think you'd be happy in heaven for eternity? If you don't like getting away from the world and worshiping God, do you think you're going to be happy in heaven for eternity? It is absurd to suggest that we can love God with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Remember, there are two tables of stone, right? On the first table of stone, it has to do with our relationship to God. The second one, our relationship to our fellow man. How could we say we love God with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength if we do not delight in a unique day that He's given us to worship Him? Folks, remember the Lord's Day. If I can say it like that, remember this day to keep it holy. I'm not going to make a list of what you can and can't do. I'm going to tell you, what do you want to do? What do you delight in? What is the focus, primary purpose of that day for you? And I hope and pray it is to bring glory and honor to your Creator.